Hello and welcome to another episode of the Texans Talk Podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today in the first of our series of Behind Enemy Lines is the editor of the Titans Wire, Chrissy Freud. Chrissy, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Excited for excited for training to start up again soon. So first of all, let's start off with a player over at the Titans that I'm particularly excited about, AJ Brown. How's he looked to you so far?
Well, obviously, we've had a very limited look at off-season activities, and I'm not in Nashville right now. But from what I've seen, he's consistently impressed, and obviously, he did have that one-handed catch in practice. And he said that wasn't intentional, but I think it shows for sure at least what he's capable of. And he brings a lot to the table with his versatility, and versatility is really something that I've noticed with a lot of the Titans selections in the draft and pickups in the free agency. And he's probably going to do best in the slot, but I really think he can thrive anywhere.
And how about first rounder Jeffrey Simmons as well? He's a very interesting prospect.
Mm-hmm. Well, Simmons is still recovering from the injury, so we're not going to get a good look at him for a while, but I think he's got potential to be something really big in this defense. He's in really good hands running under Jarrell Casey. I noticed that during college, he switched up between nose tackle and five technique on a few occasions, so I think he's going to, like I said, bring a lot of versatility, a lot of strength and athleticism. So there's a lot that we don't know about him still, but I think he's going to work out fine with this offense from what I've seen.
Absolutely, and one of the more intriguing picks, as far as I've noticed, was safety Imani Hooker. He looks to me like he has a good shot at challenging earlier on for Vaccaro's spot at starting safety. Who do you think will start week one? Who will we see there?
That's one of those things, really just too early right now. I think we got to credit Vaccaro for how he stepped in for Cyprian last season and essentially took his job. So I think they're both really good football players, but it's just we're going to have to see how they do in camp, and I don't think that there will really be a decision until week one, but it's going to be a fight for sure. Like I said, especially with how good Kenny did in Cyprian's spot.
You mentioned, obviously, Jonathan Cyprian, former Jaguar as well. Do you think they made the right decision in letting him go?
I think that's going to be something that remains to be seen, but I'm very confident in what Vaccaro brings to the table here. I think his absence really almost went unnoticed last season, so I think they'll be just fine.
I think that says a lot on its own there. I have to admit, like I mentioned, Hooker is one of the more intriguing picks to me. I think he has the potential to be a real value. What do you think he will bring to the team once he's settled in?
I know that he went a lot later than he should have. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about him, so I think we'll just find out later on in camp.
Absolutely, we'll be keeping a close eye on that. So far in the very limited, obviously, training that we've seen, has anybody stood out to you?
I've heard that Tannehill's been solid. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about Marcus Mariota, and I know that Adam Humphries, who they just added from the Buccaneers, got quite a bit of work, so I'm really interested to see what he brings to the offense this season.
Certainly, and they invested very heavily on defense this draft, I must admit. I mean, that's not necessarily surprising, obviously, with Vrabel as the head coach. Do you think it'll pay off this year? Or do you think perhaps we're going to need to wait another year or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they made a lot of solid pickups during free agency and a lot of really promising guys in the draft. So I think it'll all come together, and if it doesn't, then that means that we've got a few guys that flopped, a few busts in there somewhere.
I mentioned Vrabel, obviously. Where do you stand on Vrabel? I mean, obviously, he's very inexperienced at this point in time, but he showed promise. How confident are you in him as your head coach?
I'm pretty confident. I mean, I think that he's worked well with the guys. I like his hands-on approach, and I think he's moving in the right direction. And I think a lot of people like how aggressive he is. I will say there's been a couple decisions that he's made on the field as far as being aggressive that I would say weren't absolutely necessary. But then again, if they would have panned out, I might be on the other side of things. So.
Do you think that's perhaps just because of his inexperience and he was trying things out? Or is that something that perhaps he'll fade out now that he's more experienced? Or
I mean, I think as he continues to coach this team, we'll see if he continues that or not. But I think he's just in general kind of a gutsy guy. And I think it's paid off more often than not. But there have been a couple games where I think some decisions he's made may have actually cost the Titans the game.
So do you, go on.
The London game,
yes,
against the Chargers. There was a decision he made there that I think if he would have been a bit more conservative, they might have had a little bit more of a chance of winning there.
Do you think the Texans really missed out in letting him go?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the Texans are doing fine with their coaching staff now. I guess we'll find out eventually over time with how Vrabel does in Tennessee just how much they lost.
Certainly. And what are you expecting from this Titans offense this year? I'm very interested to see how they progress. Obviously, there's so many big targets for Mariota or Tannehill.
Yeah, I think that having more passing targets definitely makes a big difference. I think perhaps they won't rely much on the running game, even though Arthur Smith did kind of indicate that we would continue using Derrick Henry in the run game, and obviously he's a big asset. But depending on just how well these receivers pan out and just how well Delaney Walker is able to bounce back, we might see a bit more for the passing game. And I think Mariota's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive and obviously more successful in the pass, because we've noticed in the past that he's relied a lot on his legs, and it's been more of a run team.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned Derrick Henry, actually. What do you think you're expecting from him this year? Because he was fantastic last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that he's finally gotten back into the groove, and I think the Titans have found the correct way to use him, because it was almost as if he just wasn't in the proper role in the beginning. I think that's why he had such a slow start, but I'm hoping to see that he continues the momentum that he had towards at the end of last year, and I think that he will. So I'm looking forward to some good things from him next year.
I completely agree, and I think he's certainly someone to keep an eye on fantasy football for a lot of our listeners. So mm-hmm. Sticking with offense, one of the players I was slightly surprised about is Jack Conklin. The Titans opted not to pick up his fifth-year option. Did this surprise mm-hmm. you, or do you think it was a sensible decision?
In some ways it surprised me, in some ways it didn't. He hasn't really been the same since the injury that he sustained a while back. And I think Dennis Kelly, kind of like the same way that Kenny Vaccaro came in and did well in Cyprian's spot, I think that Dennis Kelly did a very good job in Conklin's spot. And I'm not going to jump the gun now and say that he's going to totally surpass Conklin, but I could see a potential position change for Conklin in the future. And I think that the Titans are just kind of looking at him with a lot more question marks than they did before, just because he hasn't been able to bounce back in full form like we would have hoped he would.
Yes, it is unfortunate that he hasn't been able to bounce back. But one of the other players that I think is going to, again, it's going to be very interesting to watch on this Titans offense this year is Ryan Tannehill. So they brought him in this offseason. We don't know what to expect at quarterback. How much do you think we're going to see him this year?
I think the Titans have made it pretty clear that they don't intend to play Tannehill without as long as Marcus Mariota is healthy. I think that we'll see Tannehill in the backup role, as he's supposed to be, and he's going to be the insurance policy for Marcus Mariota. But I really don't think that he comes out onto the field unless Marcus can't play, because this is kind of Marcus's prove-it year. This is the year when we find out if he's here to stay or if he's going to go on somewhere else.
And do you think perhaps if they end up letting Mariota go after this year, do you think maybe Tannehill could be looking at starting for a year whilst they bring in, say, developmental quarterback or something along those lines?
Yeah, for sure, because I mean, Tannehill's more of a veteran figure, and he does have some substantial starting experience. I think that if Mario does get hurt and if we see more of Tannehill on the field, I think that he's much more likely to go into that role.
And you mentioned, obviously, Mariota's, this is a make-or-break year for him, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. What's your expectations for him from what you've seen so far and going heading into this year? Because he's got the offense he needs, he's got the targets he needs, he's got a great running back. Mm-hmm. How important is this year for him?
Oh, it's huge. This is the fifth and final year of his rookie deal. I think that John Robinson and company have done a very good job of placing all the people around him that he needs. Another thing to look at, though, is the offensive line. One thing that's going to – I'm not going to be sold on whether we can make a decision on Marcus Mariota right now or not unless the offensive line is solid. But granted that the offensive line is solid, and if our receivers do pan out and Marcus Mariota has the supporting cast that he needs, if he still fails, then at this point it's kind of on him in my eyes.
Well, they brought in Roger Saffold, and they also brought in third rounder Nate Davis on the offensive line. Do you think they will help solidify it a bit, or are you still a bit questionable, I suppose you could say, about it?
Oh, I mean, I think they'll help a lot. It's just a matter of whether or not it totally gels the way it's supposed to. The Titans' offensive line has actually shown some regression in recent seasons. So if the offensive line can finally get it together, I think that's going to give us the best judgment of Marcus Mariota that we can have.
And the interesting situation around Mariota is, do you think it's been a case of he just hasn't, obviously he's had a lot of offensive coordinators calling the plays in his time there, and he's had a questionable defensive line at times. Do you think that's the reason for his I don't want to say failings, but lack of hitting that expectation combined with injuries? Or do you think it's just a case of perhaps he hasn't matured into the player that they had expected?
I mean, my personal take on Marcus Mariota is that he's been a victim of the constant change and the bad offensive line and not having enough targets. So there's been some questionable decisions that he's made in the pocket. I think that he kind of wants to run sometimes and whenever maybe he should have stood tall for a little bit longer. But I think that the change in offensive coordinators, just the lack of targets and then the downfall of the offensive line, has definitely been factors, and we have to look at that.
Certainly. So if we return to the draft for a second, if we can, who was your favorite selection this year? Do you have one that really stands out to you?
Honestly, I have to say Nate Davis. It's an offensive lineman, so that's kind of one of the underwhelming picks, but that's the greatest area in need, and it's a very versatile guy. So I think he'll help a lot. And if he can make a name for himself within this offensive line and really proves himself, that he might prove to be the most important selection in this year's draft.
Certainly. And how do you feel about their moves in free agency so far as well? I mean, they've been limited, but there have been some good ones.
Yeah, Titans weren't very active in free agency. I think we've seen several years where they haven't been. But like with the addition of Stafford, of Cameron Wake, Adam Humphries, guys like that, they've got some older guys there, some guys with experience. I think the biggest thing with Adam Humphries, which is one guy that I'm excited to see, is just to see how well he can take on a bigger role, if he does get a bigger role than he had in Tampa.
Definitely. And what do you think of the team that Vrabel is constructing here then? Do you think it's really coming into its own now?
Yeah, I think it really is. I think that we have less and less holes to fill every year, and I think that we've made some really, really good decisions this offseason. I'm really excited to see how well it pans out and how many of these guys really meet the expectations that have been set for them.
So here's the big question for a lot of our listeners in particular. How do you think the Titans are compared to their AFC South rivals going into 2019?
I'd say that the Titans will have improved a lot after the moves that they've made this offseason. I think that they've steadily become a rising force, and that if it wasn't for all the injuries last year, they would have edged their way into the playoffs. But another thing I'm noticing is that it seems like the AFC South as a whole is getting stronger and stronger, so it might end up being more level than we think.
Yeah, definitely. You'd have to. I mean, the Colts are certainly looking dangerous. The Jags have made some interesting additions in the draft and free agency, so it's going to be interesting, especially with regards to the Jags, to see if they can bounce back after a poor year last year. So it could be a very, very tight division to call. So what do you think of their schedule in terms of difficulty going into 19?
I would place that medium difficulty, if we can use that term. And I project that we probably lose anywhere between 5 to 7 games. And I mean, the Titans, the big thing I'm going to have to see from them this season is consistency. Because last year they beat the Patriots in dominant fashion. And you think, oh, wow, they're on the rise now. They're really doing well. They're really going to be a force. And they flop to a team that they shouldn't have flopped to. And then
you've
obviously got the Colts on the schedule. And they've never defeated the Colts without they've never defeated the Colts whenever Andrew Luck is under center. And then there's a lot of games that the Titans lost last year to, I guess, what we could call lesser opponents that they shouldn't have lost to. So, I mean, you could say the schedule is this difficult or that difficult, but it's really going to come down to how consistent can you be.
You mentioned Andrew Luck, of course, a fantastic player. I mean, he had a brilliant year last year. He was helped, of course, by that fantastic offensive line he had in front of him. Definitely the best in the division, one of the top three in the league, in my opinion. Who do you think, here's the big question though, who do you think is the best quarterback in the South? And that's a tough call to make now.
I would go with Andrew Luck, just because I feel like he's been more consistently good. But I'm very, very curious to see how well Nick Foles does. I was really, really pulling for the Titans to pick up Nick Foles during free agency. And I think he went to the Jaguars way, way too big of a price tag. But I'm very interested to see if he can be the same guy that he was for the Eagles in the playoffs.
Definitely. It's going to be that's a big move. And they put so much money on his shoulders. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can fit in as well there as he did, obviously, in Philadelphia. So fingers crossed for his sake it works out. But I guess for Texans fans listening, perhaps not. So how do you think the Titans will do against Houston this year? What's your expectations for those two matchups, if you had to call it now?
I'm going to say one win and one loss. I don't know which field the win will take place in. Don't know which field the loss will take place in. But it seems like that's kind of how it always goes. And the divisional matchups are always hard fought. And they're very, very unpredictable. But I mean, I just don't see the Titans winning twice against them under any circumstances, really, just based on history alone.
No, and to be perfectly honest, I think I'd agree with that 1-1. I can't see the Texans beating them, but I think it's going to be each home team wins, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. It's such a finely balanced division this year. It's going to be so difficult to call. Just to round off, I like to throw people off with the closing topic a little bit if I can. So with Aaron Rodgers in Game of Thrones recently and then DeAndre Hopkins announcing that he's going to be in Ballers this season, which Titans coaches or players would you like to see on television and where?
You know, one person I listened to lately that I hadn't paid much attention to the interviews in the past with has been Delanie Walker, and I've gone back for a few. And he has a much more blunt personality than I originally perceived. So I kind of picture him in a Simon Cowell role in American Idol or America's Got Talent or something like that, which may be far off, but I listened to him the other day and he's just totally blunt.
That's it. I mean, perhaps for the 100th year of the NFL, we could have a sort of NFL equivalent of America's Got Talent with Delanie Walker as the Simon Cowell figure, and then we see what these players have to offer in terms of their other talents aside from football. That could be definitely, that would be entertaining, I think it's safe to say, and I think it would get some viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. It's been great to speak to you. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
I'm just Chrissy_Freud. On Twitter, and that's pretty much all that I operate on, so you can find me there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I've been your host for the day, Anthony Wood. Find me on Twitter @ARWoodNFL, and of course at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening to us,